State lawmakers are considering a bill that would add a new tax on sweetened beverages to raise enough money to cover the costs needed to provide free breakfast and lunch to all students in our public schools across Connecticut. Joining us now is State Representative Moira Rader, who is the vice chair of the Finance, Revenue, and Bonding Committee, also the assistant majority leader. And Representative Rader, thank you so much for joining us. Let's start by, if you don't mind, listing some of those common examples. What kind of drinks are we talking about in this bill?
Sure. Well, in terms of the sweetened beverages, it would be anything that has either natural sugar or artificial sweeteners in them. So a soda, an energy drink, or like a sweetened, any kind of sweetened beverage, and a diet beverage as well.
And I'm curious, do we have an idea, Representative, of how many, and this could be ballpark, how many Connecticut residents consistently buy these drinks?
I don't actually have those statistics to tell you exactly. I do know that the study was more looked at in terms of, you know, how much of an impact and how much of a revenue could be derived from a certain, you know, cents per ounce tax. And so those are the studies that we did. But I don't have any data on, you know, how many people every day, you know, buy a soda or a sweetened beverage.
But enough data, though, that would prove it would be enough people to raise what sounds like the need, which is $110 million?
Right. So we have in the legislature, we have an Office of Fiscal Analysis. And when we need some numbers run or some data derived, we look to them to kind of substantiate that. And yes, if we were to do a 2 cents per ounce, we would have more than enough to cover universal free breakfast and lunch for every student in Connecticut.
I'm curious, and I was going to ask that, when we say every student, that's regardless of the district, right? I mean, so kids in Westport and Fairfield, they would also get the free breakfast and lunch.
Right. Well, what happens right now is the federal government has, you know, a lunch and breakfast program that most districts participate in. And if a district has a certain number of kids who qualify for free or reduced lunch, mostly for free lunch, a certain percentage, then their costs are covered for all kids in that district or in that school building. And some districts are kind of, you know, well covered through that, but there are a lot of them who don't meet that threshold. And so they may have many kids in their district who are getting either free or reduced, but many who are not, simply because their family's income is just slightly above the cutoff. And that cutoff is a family of four has to make $57,000 or less per year qualify for free and reduced lunch. So it's not a lot of families. And so a lot of families that fall in what we call that ALICE category of asset limited, income constrained, but employed. And those families are still really struggling to be able to meet that cost at school for those meals for their kids.
And again, we have Representative Rader here, and we're talking about this consideration of a bill that would add a new tax on sweetened beverages. Representative, do you worry, though, about the unknowns with these products? I know Republicans in the legislature have warned about an effort by the Trump administration to ban soft drink purchases from SNAP benefits, which could reduce the tax revenue. My fear as a parent of a six-year-old, by the way, is that I worry that we will have the revenue maybe for next year, but then the year after it goes away because either inflation or things being banned, whatever the case may be, but sort of the unknowns around these drinks and people who are purchasing them. I worry about if we're going to be consistent enough. And we're looking at right now, for example, you know, COVID funding that was there for the last couple of years, but now it's sort of gone away. And school districts on average in Connecticut are struggling to kind of figure out, well, how do we make up that revenue we were relying on for 3 years? Do you fear that we're going to see the same thing happen with beverages?
You know, there's a lot there, and so I just want to unpack it a little bit. So you're right. You know, the COVID funding has mostly drifted off for most districts. Sadly, there was still some remaining monies that some districts had in their current budget that the Trump administration just rescinded. So you have districts with operating budgets right now that have been cut short. So that's one thing. In regards to the SNAP benefits, yes, there's talk from the federal government that they may try to target what they consider, you know, junk food and junk drinks and those kinds of things. Nothing official has come through yet. The reason we went to the 2 cents per ounce is kind of to mitigate against the harmful cuts that might come from the federal government around those programs for families. And so the two sets crowns more than adequately cover breakfast and lunch. And there may be some remaining funds there to what we hope we could possibly do is take those districts that do receive a large amount of money from the federal government and offset their costs should the government pull back on school meal funding. Because that's one of our other big concerns, is that they will raise the qualification for those districts in terms of how many kids, you know, receive free lunch, how, like, the percentages. I won't get into the numbers, but that's one of our big concerns, too. And so we feel that by sticking with the 2 cents per ounce and not going less, we would have more than enough money to cover that. But it's a genuine concern, and that's why we went that route.
I guess my last question then with that is, if we do find that this tax goes through, is there a backup plan? You know, is there a backup plan to figure out how we continue to fund these meals? Because you are right in what you said earlier. The need for these meals is so important for every single student. I mean, kids need to be able to focus in schools. And certainly if they're not eating and they're not getting the meals that they need, then that's a problem. But is there a backup plan? If we don't get enough money for the $110 million that we need, I guess what is the backup plan then?
So you're saying if we don't raise enough revenue or
Correct.
The government cuts it?
Yeah.
The first thing I will say to you, the numbers are really there to say we will have enough. But say for some reason we then see the federal government pulling back on a lot of districts and they're now needing more support from us. We do have a buffer for that. You know, and the other good thing is that, you know, the governor has put in place, not for next year, but the following year, free universal breakfast. But again, we're heading into really uncharted territories in terms of state budgets and federal cuts. And so, yeah, I'm a mother of four. I have those same concerns. But I do feel that if we are going to be able to protect our kids and make sure, like you said, that every child is starting their day with food in their bellies and ability to concentrate and be strong learners, then we should be investing in them. And this is why Connecticut's kind of stepping into this and saying, you know what, we're going to plan for worst case scenario and we're going to try to make a revenue stream to protect that program that is so critical to their success in school.
State Representative Moira Rader, I want to thank you so much for what you do and for joining us here on WICC to explain this legislation. And we certainly will see what happens. We know there's a couple months left to the legislative session, so we'll see where the bill goes from here. Thank you so much.